Okay. We're going to start again from Itmar, the third middle line on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Itmar Rav Amar Shliach Nasa Eid. The messenger can become one of the witnesses. Right? Somebody brings a get. That's what it's talking about here. It could be anything. He brings a get. He can testify that he watched the get being transferred, even though he's the one that transferred it. The Beir of Shliach Amar Ein Shliach Nasa Eid. Cannot wear two hats. If you're the shliach, you can't be a witness because you're considered a involved party. And we spoke about the Avni Milum yesterday, that the machloikus is an involved party usher to be an aide because he's involved or because he has negius. He has, I don't know what the word for negius is in English.
He has conflicts of interest.
That's too long for an negius. Conflict of interest, right. It's not a conflict of interest, but he has a personal gain, I don't know, whatever it is. Vested interest. My time at the Beir of Shila. What is the reason of the Beir of Shila? Elay, Mishamzu, to the Gemara and Ahavamina, that maybe it doesn't work because he wasn't appointed as a witness. We find in a certain case, by admission, if a person admits that he owes $100 to somebody, and there are two witnesses there, they're meaningless. Because the person might be joking around. Right? He doesn't mean it. Who says he means it? Unless he says, you be my witnesses. So maybe Rav Shila holds that the reason the shliach can't be an aide is he wasn't appointed to be a witness. But it's not true because... Is that a requirement by Kedushin that the witnesses know they are the witnesses? There's no requirement like that. If you're telling me the chsarn and the shliach being an aide is because he wasn't appointed to be a witness, where do we find that by Kedushin there's such a requirement? We don't find it. So what's wrong with the shliach being an aide? Elo Rav Amar Shliach Nas Aid, Alumin Kaman Limna Nemelsa. Rav says shliach is an aide because he strengthens it. Adarabba, he knows what happened. He was there. Meaning he was involved. The Beir of Shila Amar Ein Shliach Nas Aid, given them a marsh lucha shladim kabaisai, since an agent is considered like the person, havaleke gufe, so it's like the guy testifying about his own thing. Rashi. Dr. Rashi shliach nasaid. Bein le kedushin, this is whether it's a kedushin, bein shesholach mamon lebachayvay, or whether he sent money to pay back a loan, right? He sends it through a shliach. Mitzarev shliachim aid, the shliach can join another person, liyashnayim to be two aidim. If he appointed two messengers, there were two messengers together, they can be the two Adam. They saw the Kedushin. Now Rashi explains. That which the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that a person has to appoint witnesses, that's by Adam of admission. Sometimes a person agrees to the guy who's asking him for $100. And he says, you're right. He wants to get him quiet. He wants to knock him away. Okay, I owe you. Just leave me alone. I block his man. Till later on, when they take him to Bezin, then he will say, no, I don't owe the money. People use that tactic of admitting just to get the guy off his back, even though he doesn't mean it. Somebody heard it, he cannot testify that the guy admitted, unless the person who admitted pointed these people to two witnesses. Regularly, like, the edus, it strengthens the edus, when the shliach is the witness. Period. So that's the machlokes Rav and the Beir of Shila. Frank the Gemara Meisrei. Amar l'shloisha tzu v'kitcha li'oisha. Somebody tells three people, go be mekadesh a wife for me. Echad shliach, shnai made them. One can be the messenger, and the other two, even though they were appointed as messengers, but they're not doing that act. They're just standing there. They could have been the one to hand her the kedushin, but they're not. One person hands her the kedushin, and the two can be testimony. Divrei b'shamar. They were all appointed to be messengers, therefore they are considered involved parties. Ve'ein shliach nasa aid. And a shliach cannot be an aid. Ad kala pligia lebishleisha. Even beshamai, that's meko, is only meko because the three, two of them were not acting as agents at the time of the transaction. Avu bishnayim, the riakoloi, it's mashma that a two, everybody would agree that shliach is not an aid. So the kasha is on Rav. Forget the fact that Beisil comes down squarely against him, but even Beishamai comes out against him because Beishamai says clearly only by three are we willing to use two of them as Edom and one of them as a Shliach. But by two, we would never do that. And for the Gemara Hu Dama Kai Tana, Rav holds like the following Tana, meaning that they has a different version of the Machloikos Beishamai Beisil. And according to this answer, Beishamai would be like Rav. Tanya, Beishamai says, when you send two, one is the shliach, and one can be an aid. You need a shliach and another aid. Take it back. Shliach ve'edechot means you need a shliach plus one more aid, so the shliach can be an aid. Beisil says, no, you need a shliach and two more aidim. It's great that you have a new understanding in the Machlekas, but Rav is like Beishamai, and for the Gemara Epoch. Turn Beishamai and Beisil around, and Beisil is the one that says Shliach Maaseid. Now, what does Rav Shila hold? Either he paskins like Beishamai, which is not the regular, or he had the other version, the Beisil says Shliach Maaseid. So it's not clear what the Beir of Shila. We're more concerned with Rav. How could Rav be like Beishamai? The answer is Rav is like Beisil, because he had a different girsa. Now the Gemara doesn't deal with Rav Shila. How does he deal with this? Rashi. Look, Rashi, who do Amar? Rav, Shliach Beir Echad, Yechayin Lehein Al-Zavar. They can testify. Epoch, the Beisil of Beishamai. Turn around, Beisil to Beishamai. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Rav Acha Brei D'Rava Masni Ibcha. Rav Acha Brei D'Rava had a different version of Rav and Rav Shila. He had Rav Amar Ein Shliach Naseid. Rav Shila Amar Shliach Naseid. He had Rav saying no, which is like Beis Hillel, and Rav Shila saying Shliach Naseid. And again, you could say that Rav Shila had a different version of the Machlokes. The Hilchasa Shliach Naseid. We paskin shliach naseid. Rashi masne ipchul lepluta damaroi. The machloikus amaroi we had the other way. Ve'ilkus shliach naseid gersina. Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav said in the name of Rav Nachman, based on the fact that shliach naseid, two amar lishnayim, two v'kitchuli asisha. He tells two people, go be mekadesh this woman for me. Hein hein shluchav, hein hein edav. They are the shluchim, and they can be the witnesses. V'chein begerishin, Rashi. Hilchas the shliach naseid, gosin and hein hein edav, the shliach naseid. V'chein begerishin. Im sholach get l'ishtay d'shnayim, if he sent to get his wife using two shluchim, they can be the witnesses of the transfer of the get. V'chein bedinei mamonos. The same thing is true by money, which means that if he gave two people money and said, please take it to the guy I owe money to, right? Somebody owes somebody a debt, and he said, here, please deliver it. The halacha is, they can be the witnesses that they delivered it. Now, that's going to be problematic, and the Gemara is going to get into it, because they are negei bedavar. They're not just agents. They have money from somebody, and if they lost it, they would have... Would they have to pay? Would they not have to pay? So therefore, the Gemara is going to get involved in that. This is the most difficult place to say Shliach Maaseid, because in Gerushin and Kedushin, the Shluchim have zero to do with it. They have no Negias. Yeah, divorce, not divorce. Yeah, Kedushin, not Kedushin. Meaningless. I mean, meaningless to them. As far as their Negias, they have no interest in this. Money is a Chiyav in them. They're handling somebody else's money. So the Gemara is going to get involved, so we'll let the Gemara do its thing. Rashi, V'chein b'dina mamanis, im shalach choyv l'mal v'aydei shnayim. He sent his debt to Malva through two people. Dr. Gemara Tzricha. And Rav Nachman had to tell us.
Rabbi, might they have an interest in the case of a get if the shaliach was the father of the wife? This was the father of the wife and the.
He wouldn't be able to be a kosher aide. Then for sure he can't be an aide because he's a relative, and a relative can't be an aide.
Uh-huh.
Disqualified. We're talking about a guy that's not related, so therefore he has no disqualification from being a witness. The only question is his being a messenger disqualify him or not? But.
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking about he has no other reason to be disqualified. A relative is disqualified, cannot be an aide. Whether he is the shliach or whether he's not the shliach, a relative can be an aide. So that wouldn't be a problem. I thought somebody was going to ask, and I don't really have a good answer. Kedushin, there's also money involved. But I think that could be a kedushin shtar. There could be other ways that the money is immaterial in the kedushin, as much as by loan. We're obviously dealing with a bigger amount of money. That's, again, I'm just speculating. Utsricha. And Rav Nachman had to tell to me, by all three cases, if he would have said it to by Gerushin, we wouldn't necessarily figure it out by Kedushin, and if he would have said it by Gerushin and Kedushin, we wouldn't have figured it out by money. The Gemara is going to tell me why Rav Nachman had to say this. At the end of the day, all the Svaras the Gemara are going to say now would have been Havaminas. They don't last. They're wrong. Because Rav Nachman said it by Gerushin, he said it by Kedushin, and he said it by money. So there is no lasting Svara to differentiate. But if you would only say by one, one might have entertained a reason to differentiate. What would have been the reason to differentiate? The Yashmina by Kedushin, Mishin de Lemeser Kasi. By Kedushin, there is no interest to them personally. All they're doing, if anything, they're making this woman married to somebody else and no longer eligible for themselves. So if any, there's no personal gain in her having Kedushin. What they're doing is removing her off the market. That, if anything, is detrimental because it's one less woman that's available for marriage. But Gerushin, maybe each one of those shluchim thinks that they can marry this woman, it's beneficial for them to say she's divorced. They do have a personal interest in it. It frees a woman for marriage. Maybe that would be enough svara to make him a negeya be'edus. Negeya meaning have a vested interest, conflict of interest, whatever word you want to use. There should be a word that's one word. But whatever it is, they're negeya, right? So maybe we wouldn't trust them as a shliach and an aid. So the answer is, that's not called an Aegeus. V'yashmin and Gerushim, Mishum the Itzel Beitrei L'chazia. You can tell me that they work as a team, they're not thinking about marrying her because she can only marry one of the two. And therefore, we look at the team, we say they're not doing it for marriage. But, Avamamayna, Eimahani Miflakuri. But by money, maybe they split the money between themselves, and therefore it's in their interest to testify that they paid. And therefore they are an Aegeia. And they're not believed. Tzrichi, that's why we have to say it in all cases, that we don't accuse them of that, and that's not considered a vested interest in the case.
Rabbi, we would say that they would still have a vested interest even though they actually knew she was not divorced. They knew that they would be trying to marry a woman who did not really have a get.
Again, this is I was very careful when I presented this as a havamina. It does not hold water at the end of the day. But if it would only say one, one might make the argument. At the end of the day, it's not a valid argument. That's why I gave that introduction, because I knew that this would run into problems. So therefore, to avoid it, I just said it's a possible havamina. Rashi. The lemeistra ka'asi, hukach malam ba'isra aleyem, what incentive would they have to answer this woman on them and on the whole world by lying that they gave her the Kedushin? The Itzel Beitrei L'Chazia, even the training of L'Mishakri, right? They wouldn't lie because they can't both think of marrying her because only one can marry her. And therefore, they wouldn't lie as a group. Period. Okay. Now, to introduce the next Gemara, I will introduce a Machloikas that exists in Masechtas Baba Basra. If somebody lends money to a person in front of witnesses, no star, two witnesses come in and say, oh, there were two witnesses there that watched Shimon lend Levi money, $1,000. Does Levi have to pay back in the presence of witnesses or not? Is there an obligation for the payment to be made in front of witnesses as well? The fact that he insisted on witnesses there by the time of the loan, does that mean that that we need witnesses to say he paid back or not? That's the machloikus. One man the Amar says, Hamalvas chaver be'edim, ain't tzorach lepara be'edim. There's no obligation to pay back in front of Edom. And if a guy comes and says, you owe me $1,000, here are two witnesses that you borrowed it, he can answer him back, yes, I borrowed it, but I paid it back. He doesn't have to prove that he paid it. And the other Mandiyama says, he does have to prove that he paid it. That's the Machloikas and Masechtas Baba Basra that we will be referring to now. Because what happens is, reality, is that when Shimon wants to pay back, Levi wants to pay Shimon back the money. He goes over to two people and says, here is the money, take it back to Shimon. At that moment, he's, in a certain sense, handing money over to the agents, and there might be other witnesses there to watch that. Maybe there are, maybe there aren't. Doesn't say. So now the witnesses have to tell us that they handed it to the lender, right? Now, if they were honest, meaning they're stuck. They have a vested interest because they owe the guy who sent them money. The minute they took that money, they become obligated to either give it to the Shimon or to give it back to Levi. Now, if you tell me you don't need Adam, so they have no reason to lie. I mean, if they wanted to lie, they could just say, we gave it back to the guy who gave it to us. And they wouldn't have to prove it. So therefore, there's no reason to say they would lie about who they gave it to. If they wanted to steal the money, they have a very easy option. They can say, yes, Levi gave us the money, but we gave it back to him. If you hold a malvus chaver beidim, ain't tzarach lebara beidim. If you hold if a guy gives money in front of witnesses, it does not have to be returned in front of witnesses. So these shluchim, if they wanted to lie, would have a very simple lie. Instead of saying they delivered it to the lender, they could say they gave it back to the borrower. You're not letting me finish.
You never gave me anything money.
There were two Adam that he gave it. In many cases, when he gives it to the agents, there are Adam there. So they can't say you never gave it because they Adam saw they gave it. The answer is, if they wanted to lie, they could say, we gave it back. Therefore, they're believed to say they gave it to the lender. They have no interest. If they wanted to lie, they have no interest to say that they gave it to Shimon any more than they gave it back to Levi. But if you hold, so these shluchim are stuck. If they don't say they gave it to Shimon, they're going to have to pay. Because they didn't give it back to Levi. There are no witnesses they gave it back. And if you hold it when you take money from somebody, you have to have Adam when you return it. They don't have Adam that they returned it. So they have become negei b'davar. They have to say that they paid Shimon, because if they don't say they paid Shimon, they're out the money. Don't say they have no negeis. They do have a negeis. If they don't say that they gave it to the lender, they would have to pay. If you hold, they can give it back to Levi without Adam, so they have a way not to have to pay. They don't have to say they gave it to Shimon. They can say, we gave it back to Levi. Therefore, they're believed to say they gave it to Shimon because they have no vested interest in saying they paid Shimon. Masha'enket, if you hold that to give it back to Levi, they need Adam. So now that removes that possibility. So now they have somebody else's money that they have to deliver. And if they don't deliver, they have to pay. Not like Gerushin and Kedushin that they have no financial obligation. They're financially obligated to Levi. And therefore, they have to say they gave it to Shimon. Because if not, they have to pay. So how can you say they're not Negeya? They are Negeya. If they could give it back to Levi without witnesses, then they're not Negeya. Because they could give it back to Levi, and they would have gotten off with it. The fact they say they gave it to Yehuda, they have no reason to say that. No vested interest in saying they gave it to Shimon. No vested interest. because they could give it back to Levi. They're not financially obligated to say they gave it to Shimon. But if you hold that to give it back to Levi, you need witnesses. That means at the point they took the money, they now owe Levi money. And unless they deliver it to Shimon, they owe it to Levi. And they can't claim they gave it back to Levi. Where are your witnesses? So they are the Gei Avedis. Zuck to Gemara. Mike Sover. Ika Sover Hamalvas Chaveri Be'edim Tzorok Lepara Be'edim. If you hold, if you borrow money with witnesses, you must return it in front of witnesses. They are involved in this test, in this witness, in this testimony. They have a vested interest. The Yarmi Lei Parane. Because if they say, we didn't give Shimon back the money, if they don't lie, Amrlu Peruni, he'll say, give me back the money. And they won't be able to say, we gave it back already. So, Dr. Gemara, you're right. Rav Nachman, who said this halacha, has to hold that if you give a guy money in front of witnesses, he can return it without witnesses, and therefore that gives him the option of bigu the yachlu the main madinu leleiva, since they have the option of saying they gave it back to the borrower, yichayim lemeiva prana lemalva. So they no longer have negias. They're not financially obligated, because they can get out of the financial obligation without saying they paid Shimon. Therefore, if they say they paid Shimon, there's no reason to assume that they did it for personal interest. I hope I explained myself. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Mike Saber, Rav Nachman, Dabar, Bechem, Bedine, Mamana. Ik Saber, Amal, Vachavir, Be'edim, Tzorach, Lepora, Be'edim, Ve'ei, Neman, Loimer, Parati, and he's not believed to say that I paid it without Edim. Heichem, Ahemni, Loimer, Nesanun, Lomalva. How can we trust them to say they paid Shimon? Ha'inoigim, Be'edusim, Heim. They have a vested interest. The Eloi, Shimla Yairam, Eidnano Shekibu Mamalva, if they don't testify that Shimon took the money, Amalam Leiva, Levi will say to them, Peruni Masha Masayatilachem, pay me back. The Pamim Shemaslam made them. Now Rashi has a problem that Baruch Moshe had. Who said there were witnesses there when he gave it to Levi? So Rashi, sometimes there are. And Rav Nachman did not differentiate. So to Gemara, I had Vinu Leiva, Limshaleach. They could say we gave it back to Levi, and they would not have to swear, because they didn't admit anything. So they can say we paid the lender, and we believe them. Because they have no vested interest, because they could say they gave it back to Levi just as well as they could say they gave it to Shimon. So therefore they're not negei be'edus at all. Period. Zok to Gemara. V'hashta the tikkun rabbanan shuas heses. Now the rabbanan said shuas heses. So they changed the score. There's a halacha like this. Originally, in the time of the Torah, and throughout Mishnayos, and throughout the beginning of the Amoraim, the rule was, if you deny a whole loan, you don't pay. Either if you say, I paid it back, or you say, I never borrowed, you don't have to swear, and you don't have to pay. That's the rule. Let's say a guy lent money, a guy ate him, and we owe Ain Tzarek Leparav ate him. So he comes and says, you owe me $1,000? The guy can say, no, I don't. But that would be hard, because there's Adam. So he can say, I paid you back, and he believed. And if there were no Adam in the loan, he can say, I never borrowed it. And there's no need for any shvua. If he admits part, it's a shvua smayda b'mektas. That's the biblical law. And that was the law throughout the Mishnaic period and the beginning of the Tkuvas Amoraim. In Rav Nachman's years, during his lifetime, and some say he was the one, they made a shvua called the shvua heses, a rabbinic shvua to persuade, in quotations, people to be honest. And that is, if one denies a loan, either that he never got it or that he paid it, rabbinically we make him swear. That's the rule. This is a new shvua instituted by the later, I call them later, the middle stage of Amoraim. It did not exist in the time of Rav, in the time of Mishnayos. This started in the years of Rav Nachman, and some say Rav Nachman was the one that made this hakara. So when Rav Nachman said his halacha, that by money, shliach nasa aid, it was before Shavuos Heses. So Levi gave them the money, and Levi would come to them and say, did you pay Yehuda, Shimon? They could say yes, or they could say, we returned it to you. And they would get off the hook. So therefore, they have no negias. There's no reason for them to say they paid Shimon. They could just as well say they gave it back to Levi. But once they made Shavuos Heses, so if Levi says to them, did you pay Shimon? They have to say yes. Because if they say we gave it back to you, Levi would say, I want a Shavuos Heses. I want you to swear that you gave it back to me. That's the takana drabonon, that I can ask somebody to swear when he claims he doesn't owe me money. These two agents owe Levi the money. They claim they paid him back. Swear. And once they have to swear, they can't be witnesses. Because they have a vested interest. Because if they say they gave it back to Levi, they have to swear. And if they say they gave it to Shimon, they don't have to swear. So they have a vested interest. So this halacha, that Shliach Nasa Eid, worked before Shavuos Heses, by money. But once they made a takana called Shavuos Heses, which requires somebody to swear, even if he says, I paid you back completely, therefore now they're not people without a vested interest. Their interest is to say they gave it to Shimon, because if they say they gave it back to Levi, they'll have to swear. So they can't be witnesses. Because they have personal gain in saying they delivered it to Shimon. That's what the Gemara is going to say. So, Dr. Gemara, Vahash did the Tikkun Rabbanu Shavuos Heses. So now, we're stuck. Levi sent the money with two messengers. They no longer can testify because they now have a vested interest. They say they gave it to Shimon. Levi says, Shimon says, I never got any money. Levi, you owe me money. He says, I paid you. He says, no, you didn't. I sent messengers. They never gave me the money. So here is Levi is stuck. He has no proof. He can't even claim that he paid Shimon. He has no idea. The messengers claim they paid Shimon. They have no proof either, because they're Negea Beidus. They're Negea. Paid Shimon. Levi's the Leiva. Shimon is the Malva. Levi sent money to Shimon with two agents. They claim they paid Shimon. Shimon, who's the Malva, claims he never got the money. The two witnesses, the two messengers, want to be witnesses. But they can't be witnesses because they have a vested interest, because if they didn't pay Shimon, they owe Levi the money and would have to swear that they gave it back to him. So now we have a case of a guy saying, I gave it to messengers. The messengers claiming that they gave it. The Malva claiming he didn't get it. What happens? So this is a similar case to Gemara in Shavuos called Chamvoni al Pinkasai. A guy sends Chamvoni al Pinkasai, which is a guy sends his worker to get food in the store. And he gives the worker money to get food in the store. The worker says he paid. The storekeeper says, I never got it. The rule is, they both swear, and he has to pay both of them again. He has to give one food, and he told the worker, get food. The storekeeper said, I gave him food, you owe me money. The worker says, he never gave me food, you owe me the money. Right, he owes his worker a lunch. He says to the worker, go to the store and get yourself lunch. Put it on my bill. The storekeeper comes to the guy and says, I gave your worker lunch. You owe me money. The worker comes to the guy and says, I never got lunch from him. You owe me the money. Now, he trusted both individuals. Therefore, they both swear, and he has to pay twice. Same thing would happen here. The Shluchim say, we paid Shimon. We don't owe you a penny. The Shimon says he never got the money. They both swear, and he has to pay, and he cannot take the money from the shluchim because they said they paid. And he has to pay Shimon again because Shimon swears he never got it. So there are no witnesses here anymore because they're negei beidus. So what happens now? What happens now is that he has to pay Shimon if Shimon swears he never got it, and the shluchim have to swear to him that they did give it to Shimon, and therefore they're pater. So the Gemara, Hashna the Tikkun Rabbanan Shua Seses, Mishtabi Hani Eidim Yehivna Leh, these Eidim swear that they gave the money, Mishtabi Malvud Leh Shokul Leh, and the Malva swears that he never got it, Upar Leh Levi Malva, and poor Levi is out twice, meaning he gave the money to the messengers. They claim they gave it. They're swearing that they gave it. Shimon's swearing he never got it. Somebody is lying. But there's nothing we can do. He has to pay twice. Rashi. V'hashta detikin rabbanan shua sesas. Tafilu mi she'en abayda b'miktas. Even if somebody does not admit partial, Hitilu al shua, they made him swear. Mahashta now, afilu sfirin len amalvus chaver beidim, ain't tzarech lepar beidim. Even if you learn that when they gave money to the messengers, they don't have to return it in front of witnesses, afilu hachi noigim beidusam, they still have a vested interest here. The army had dvinu nahalech, if they say we gave it back to you, bayishtabui, they would have to swear. Lefichach hei beidim shikibu malvam miyadam. Therefore, it's in their interest to say that they paid it. It's easier for them. They'd rather lie and say they paid Shimon than to admit that they stole the money and swear falsely, or swear falsely. People might steal, but they don't like to swear falsely. So now we don't say that messengers can be the witnesses. The kibun de edim lehavi. So now we have no witnesses. So what's the halacha? Hari adin hazeh kedin hakatzah b'shvus. So this din becomes like a din that's set in Masechta Shvus. Yabechanvani al pinkasai, the storekeeper on his notebook. Mishtabi inu the yovle lemalva. They swear that they paid Shimon. Because by giving them the money as messengers, he's trusting them. He's basically saying, I will trust Yeshua. Malva says, I don't trust these people. Let me try to explain this. The loiva cannot say, I don't trust the shua of the messengers. You gave them the money. When you give a guy money, you obviously have a certain level of trust, at least with a shua. The malva can say, I never trusted these people. Why should I believe their shua? I trusted the loiva. He never paid me. I'll swear that he never paid me and I'll collect the money. Now somebody's lying. And somebody is swearing false. But there's nothing we can do. And we make the loiva pay Shimon, and we don't make the messengers pay back because they claim that they gave the money, and there's nothing we can do. Sorry? You're a bad guy. Don't get mouth to you. I know. What can I tell you? Upstairs. It's Tarei Geshua is worse, but this is bad. That's like saying, what happens if you traipse to Rabbanon or if you traipse to Raisa? Again, the difference between a shvur d'raisa and a shvur d'rabbanon is the same as treif d'raisa to treif d'rabbanon. I'm not saying it's the same level of oinish.
Not just upstairs, that's the drama. Shvur, in this world, you lose a kid.
Again. I think we're saying apples and oranges. I'm not disagreeing with you that the oinish of shvur is worse. But you asked me, is rabbinic shvur in comparison to biblical shvur?
I mean,
so it's less of a punishment, just like eating treif drabanan is less of a punishment than eating treif teraisa. That's all. I'm not comparing the levels of punishment between treif and shua. I'm comparing the level of difference, just like there are differences in rabbinic law and biblical law by other mitzvahs, there are differences in rabbinic law and biblical law by shua as well. What the difference exactly is, I don't know. Yes.
I'm thinking, so this is not necessarily form. Incidentally, the phrase we used to use for the Giz back in the Midwest is a dog in the fight, but Rabbi Foreman used the term steak, which in this case, this version of the Giz, steak works very well, but vested interest is better than conflict in this area. But it seems there's got to be a difference in terms of rabbinic versus deraisa, and this is unformed. Rabbinic versus deraisa in terms of shavuos, in that the problem with eating a chicken and cheese sandwich is not eating chicken and cheese. There's no problem with that. The problem is in terms of rejecting the words of the rabbinic.
Yeah, that you're right.
A rabbinic shvuah, there is a whole kapira as far as the whole system of justice and interpersonal relations.
Forget what I said. All I meant to say is that the einus of rabbanon varies from einus to rice. That's all I said. That's all I meant to say. I made a bad comparison. I will agree.
I will say something in Aramaic and Okanami.
Back to the Gemara. We're finished with the sugya of Shlichus. We spent 2.5 blad of Shlichus, and now we move to the next part of the Mishnah, which is a ish mekadesh es bita kshinara, that a father can accept kedushin for his daughter when she's between 12 and 12 and a half. And we learned earlier that really you can do a ktana as well. We had that on the Malos, but we don't like that because we don't want a person marrying up his ktana, because she might not like her husband when she grows up. Dr. Gemara writes, it's not husband. There's a Mishnah Masech Nesgit. Nara Murasa, Huva Via Mekabla Nesgita. A woman got married biblically, and now her husband wants to divorce her, and she's between 12. Let me step back. She didn't get, I use the term marriage, that's a wrong term to use. In those days, marriage was a two-step process. It was Erison, and later on, there was Nisuah. Once a woman is a Nisuah, once she consummated the marriage, her father has zero rights to the woman. So we're talking now in Nara Murasa. She had Kedushin, but she didn't have Nisuah. She's between 12 and 12 and a half, which means she's not over 12 and a half. Had she been over 12 and a half, her father is out.
So,
what? Even in Eris. The minute a girl turns 12 and a half, all her father's rights, null and void. Only till 12 and a half. The question is, who has the right to accept the get during erison? Both or only the father? The father has a right, that's clear. The question is, does his right void her right? Or can two people have a right? Do we say only one person's entitled to get the divorce? And since she's under the control of her father, he's the one entitled to get the divorce. Or do we say it's not a contradiction? He can get the divorce and she can get the divorce. Remember, he's not her agent. He is the guy getting divorced for his daughter. He has a right in his daughter to accept divorce. Does that void her right? That means she has no rights for divorce till after 12 and a half to accept the get? Or you can have two people have the right to accept the get, and one doesn't contradict the other.
What rights does she have that her father does not have?
Again, nobody said she has to have rights that her father doesn't have. The question is, does she have rights that her father has?
Does she have any rights that her father has? If she finds an Aveda, who gets it?
She finds an Aveda?
Yeah. I'm not going to quiz Rebbe. I'm just saying, what do we see? Is there anything that she has bylaws in?
Again, let's step back. She's the one that's Maresis. She is the woman that's married. I use the term married, and I don't mean it. I meant loosely. Whatever the word is, betrothed.
Oh, you mean she wasn't ball court being betrothed? The father can't do without her consent.
He can.
He can.
But the bottom line is now she is in a position of being the wife. Whatever degree of wife she is.
So she was without her consent could be.
It doesn't make a difference, but she is what she is now. She is this guy's betrothed.
Betrothed.
What?
Betrothed.
Betrothed. It's betrothed.
Betrothed, he says.
Betrothed.
Harvey says it's betrothed. I go with Harvey.
Betrothed.
anyway, whatever the word is, she's Mukadashus. She's Muresis. Dr. Gemara, Tanan Hassam, Nara Muresa, Hiva Via, either her or her father, Mekablu Nesgita. Amar Yehuda, Ein Shtei Yedayim Zeichus Keachat. You cannot have two people that have the same right. Lavia Mekabalas Gita, period. Rashi. Dr. Rashi Nara Marasa Wadiliktana. So Rashi says the same question would be an 8-year-old that the father married off. Because she can accept the get. Vahai de Pligi Benara, the Yacha Kaichad Rabbi Huda, to tell us the power of Rabbi Huda, that even a Nara does not have her own hand. Hiva Via, Ayhi Ayavia. He, Sharigizaili. She's an adult. But yes, Layad. But I'm retired with Nasim Biyada. It's interesting that Rashi says this because he just said that even a Ktana can accept her own get. So the reason is not Shari Gdailahi. Even if she's not a Gdailahi, she can accept her own get. But via Shatira Zichsel Le Kabo Gdusha, the Torah said he can marry her off. The Iskish Lutia Lavaya, and the Torah compares divorce to marriage. So Rashi. Bedav Kanara, so this is a stira, this Rashi, Bedav Kanara, Avakhtana Avivalohi. Rashi Shita is that when it said before, Huadin Liktana means the father's rights, but the girl has no rights as a Ktana. Bedav Kimene Arison, Avan Nisuan Hivalohavia. But once she consummated the marriage, the father has no rights. The Mishnisus ain Levi Rishusba. Ein Shtei Yadayim Zeichus Keechad Beguf Echad. You cannot have two hands working for the same person. Either she has the right or he has the right. Can't have two people have the right. That's Rabbi Huda's Svara. The Mishnah in Gittin continues, which has nothing to do with our sugya. But once we're quoting a Mishnah,
is it an argument
basically? It's an argument tanoim. Any woman not capable of watching her get, which means she doesn't understand the concept that she's divorced, she is a little bit not in the regular, meaning she's not old enough or not intelligent enough to understand that she no longer belongs with her husband, and Yechailah cannot get divorced. Now here is Machlekes Rishayim. How about the father? Can he accept the get? Because he can watch her. Or do we say, once she's not capable to be divorced, even the father can't accept it, which is what Rashi says. Even her father cannot accept her get, because she's considered a shaita. She has to get the message that she's out and she can't come back. Yatzisazu, this girl that doesn't understand that she was just thrown out. So Mishalcha b'Chazeres. This is a Gemara b'Mesechtas Yevamos, Perik Cheresh Shenasa. Okay. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Now we're going to get involved. How about Kedushin?
Rashi talking about even a Naira. Even a Naira that's a
Shaita.
Because a Shaita, the father cannot.
That's Rashi Shita. The Machlokes is Rashi and Tarsus, but this is Rashi Shita, correct. Because Rashi learns the pasuk says the woman has to be capable of understanding that she's out. Let me explain it differently. It's not a chesaron in her accepting the get. It's a chesaron in getting divorced. She's not capable of being divorced. Tysus disagrees. He says she can't accept the get, but the father can.
But the father was able to Mekadosh even Bar Korcho, right?
Correct.
So, but it comes out that the father is the one, it didn't matter if she knew what was going on or not. She didn't matter.
Correct.
So her whole Kedushin is still She doesn't know that she's even married.
But now that you find out she's married, she's married.
Yeah, but this, what does that mean? In regards to marriage, she realizes I have a husband. In regards to divorce, I don't realize I don't have a husband.
Well, she's...
She's only married. She's married in a very crazy situation. I am married to whatever extent that is. Not intelligence that she has works both ways.
I hear your question. But I think that what Rashi is telling me is it's Xeris HaKasav in the Torah that for a woman to be able to be divorced, she has to be someone that's Mishal Chavein HaChazeres. The words Vishokham Ibeza teaches us that she has to be capable of Mishal Chavein HaChazeres. Because you could have asked a better question. She's an Arusa. She's not even living with him. So she's never by him to begin with. So she doesn't have to go back. She's never there. You could have asked that question. That would have been the better question. But the answer is we're not dealing with the fact whether she does go back or not. The Torah is requiring for a woman to be able to be divorced that she have the intelligence to understand the concept of divorce.
Yeah, but Kedushin is the same thing. Kedushin
she does not have to understand the concept of Kedushin.
But the word Kedushin itself tells her she has to know.
Who told you that?
The word Kedushin means a portion. I'm Kiddush to one and not the other. Does it mean a portion?
Kiddush means she is whatever way you want to pronounce the English word.
There are two pronunciations. Yeah, Arby is correct. There are two pronunciations.
Not worth myself getting involved with it.
The first one is betrothed, the second one is betrothed.
Okay. Whatever it is, I'll say Bukadesh.
What? It's like a British pronunciation versus an American pronunciation.
Okay, so now the Gemara is going to get involved. Yes.
Rabbi, never say betrothed and save yourself some social embarrassment, regardless of what the community there says.
Thank you.
What did he say?
He said, don't say betrothed because then you're going to be embarrassed socially, so just stick to the other way. That's the Gemara of Aita.
I was thinking about that. Since she wasn't looking, as Rebbe said. So what are we afraid of? That she's going to go back to...
We're not afraid. She's not even in the house. It's Xeris HaKasav that to be divorced, the woman has to understand the concept of divorce.
She understood the concept of Eris?
She doesn't have to. Perry doesn't demand that there.
What?
Continue, Rachel, tomorrow, everybody, everyone.